All right. And going on about preparation techniques, you certainly want to familiarize the witness with the process and not take anything for granted. I don't want to digress into too much of a war story here, but it's ironic that I'm talking about witness preparation because for, I believe, the first time in my professional career earlier this year, I got called to the witness stand as a fact witness. It was a matter where there was a motion to disqualify my law firm in a what's essentially a business divorce case based on just a little bit of employment work I had done a year and a half prior, literally about 12 hours worth of work that they were trying to conflate into my knowing something confidential that would cause my firm to be disqualified. And it was an interesting lesson for me because I've testified as an expert witness numerous times. I've been deposed. I kind of felt like, oh gosh, I know how all of this works. It was a different feeling to be up on the witness stand, essentially being accused of misrepresenting or doing something wrong in some way. And I share that with you simply to emphasize how incredibly much harder it would be for a lay witness because I've got almost 30 years of practice. And there I was up there having to put really a fair amount of mental effort into not fidgeting, not swiveling the witness chair back and forth, focusing, listening to the question, especially on cross-examination. It is a very different experience to be the target in a fact witness situation. And so even though when I wrote the paper, I think I said, if you have a nervous witness or a brand new witness, maybe you get them to the courtroom and sit them in the chair. I'm now a believer, probably you should do that with everyone. If you've got the opportunity when the court's not in session to actually go up there, get the sense of, you know, if it's one of those courtrooms where you're way up higher than everybody else, where you're going to have a hard time seeing counsel table if you don't see well, and to think about how the witness is presenting themselves. So it's, you know, kind of touchy-feely, but it makes a huge difference both in the courtroom and in videotaped deposition, if someone is looking shifty, if they're fidgeting around nervously, all of those things make an impression on a jury, and it's above and beyond the content of what they're trying to say. So don't overlook those details of what the surroundings are going to be, and just reminding someone. Of course, we also remind them, you know, to dress appropriately, think about how they're presenting themselves, and to just be very aware that they are being watched. So that's one piece of it. The other bigger piece, of course, is the witness's actual story. And you certainly want to spend a lot of time on that so that you as the advocate, especially if it's your witness up there, you shouldn't ever be surprised with some information that they're testifying to. But certainly I've had it happen from time to time that opposing counsel goes in a direction that I didn't anticipate. And you hope that if you really, really think through your case, that that happens rarely, if at all. But, you know, it's an interesting lesson again, that if your brain doesn't necessarily work the same way opposing counsel's does, they may come up with some line of questioning that you didn't anticipate. So definitely take time to slow down, as Joe said, and really think about your case and try to think about it from the other side. And of course, for most witnesses, you're going to want to try to break the story down into manageable sections. I tend to be pretty chronological. So if I'm walking a witness through preparation, I'm probably going to have the exhibits that I'm going to use in chronological order. I certainly want them to be comfortable when they start to know how they're going to introduce themselves to the jury, to know what kind of basic questions I'm going to ask about them and the work they do for the company, and then walk them into how they are connected with this particular lawsuit and the actions that they took. And if you're talking about key witnesses in an employment case, you're probably talking about an HR director who may have investigated a sexual harassment complaint, or maybe some kind of executive who made a layoff decision, let's say. And in those cases, again, because you're in the middle of a lawsuit and people are nervous and they're unfamiliar with the process, sometimes I've had witnesses who really were decision makers who were a little bit reticent about taking ownership of the employment decision when push came to shove and they were under oath. You definitely want to explore that with the witness. If they were the one where the buck stopped and they were the one that decided, yes, this person's going to be laid off, they need to absolutely take ownership and say exactly why they made that decision and what was going through their mind at the time. And then, of course, you can work with them to make that story as accessible and as human as possible. If it was a layoff decision where someone really agonized over it, they should feel free to talk about that and talk about how difficult it was. There's an example in the paper on the Converse. You do have to be a little careful if you have a decision maker who thinks that the company is so much better off without this particular plaintiff, that the lawsuit is ridiculous, that this is all a waste of time. That demeanor will come through in testimony if you don't work with them very carefully to be respectful of the process and to be professional and calm and complete in their testimony.